I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Cinemas podcast, where we will be discussing Steven Spielberg's latest adaptation of Roald Dahl's The BFG. I'm Sam Howlett, and as always I'm joined by Jenna Hobbs.
Hiya.
And Helen Seymour.
Hello.
Mixed your names up there. Usually I do Helen first and Jenna.
I wasn't prepared.
I was ready. Yeah. For me.
Make it a bit more interesting. So I'm going to introduce The BFG, but I really don't feel like I need to, because I feel like everyone knows The BFG. Everyone read it as a child or has seen the 1980s animation with David Jason.
It's an absolute classic, isn't it?
Yeah. So the BFG is about a little girl called Sophie, named after Roald Dahl's daughter, correct?
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Yeah, the book's dedicated to his daughter, Olivia.
Oh, okay.
It's his granddaughter, Sophie, I think.
And she's an orphan in London, and she sees a giant who then steals her away to giant country. And at first she's scared, but then she learns he's actually a big friendly giant. Hence the name. And she learns about how the giants make dreams and how there are also evil giants in this world. I think that's as much detail as we need to go into.
Yeah, that's the basic plot. It's quite a simple story, isn't it?
Very simple story. It's a real children's story, and this is a real children's film. It's very simple. It's very playful. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's not trying to build a realistic world. It's just trying to be entertaining for kids. And I think off the hand, I'd say kids will like it. A lot.
Yeah, because it's magical, isn't it?
And
it's
so magical.
Kind of enchanting.
It's pure fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not this kind of magical realism where it has these fantasy elements, but in a real world, it's full on fantasy.
Yeah, and
that's
very
quite
mixed
rare to
up
see
in
these days.
Style too. Like, I don't think you can pinpoint it as like a current day, or I mean, I know it's in England, but it doesn't look like England that we see.
It's
really
a fantasy England.
Yeah,
definitely. So before we go into detail about our review of the film, we're going to have a Twitter question. So we asked you on Twitter, what other Dahl book and director combinations would you like to see? So obviously this is BFG and Steven Spielberg. That's quite a dream combo, really. Steven Spielberg, one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. He loves like child's fantasy films. So it's perfect to combine Roald Dahl and Steven Spielberg. Ollie Bellwood on Twitter suggests The Twits by Lars von Trier, which would be insane.
I love
really
the Twits.
Dark.
That's my favourite Roald Dahl.
The Twits is great and never has been made before, I believe.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting one. The Twits is just this really gross couple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the darkest. It's one of the darkest ones.
Yeah.
I just really remember from my childhood where the Mrs. Twit was taking off, or was it the other way around? The like bit of the walking stick, so making it think they were shrinking. And stuff like that. They're just so mean to each other. It's great.
That does sound really good. Would it work as a film or would it be more of a short film, do you think?
There's loads of little stories about the Twits, aren't there? And then they go off with like flying monkeys and stuff. I think it could be a great film.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they've done it on stage a few times.
Interesting. Who would you like to see direct that, Jenna? The Twits, then?
Oh, I don't know, Sam. Shout me a director. I'm sure there'll be good ones.
I think Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
He'd be pretty good for the Twits. That kind of sort of dark, twisted fantasy.
I think he's
quite good with that. But
who did Drive?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Him. I want him.
Him to do the Twits.
Yeah.
That would be violent.
I want it.
Pulpy violent.
And the music would be... fantastic.
That would be really interesting. So films we've had before from Roald Dahl, we've had Charlie and Chocolate Factory a couple of times. I think that's done now.
I would hope so.
Oh, I didn't like the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Neither did
not
I.
Fan of Tim Burton one. I definitely have a real soft spot for the Gene Wilder version.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, and I know it takes liberties with the book.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm still really enjoy it. Yeah, I think the Tim Burton one's good, but it's not a classic.
I just didn't. I got sad there was no Oompa Loompa songs really in the Tim Burton one.
There were Oompa Loompa songs, but they weren't the Oompa
Not the original Oompa Loompa songs.
We've also had Nicholas Roeg's The Witches.
I love that
which is
film.
Really really scary.
Yeah,
still to this day, that is a real
they
horror
peel
film.
Their faces.
Yeah,
off.
And just a bit of the girl trapped in the painting.
Yeah, it's always that girl trapped.
That's terrifying.
That's what gets everyone. Yeah.
I was really scared of that, and then I saw it again a few years ago, and it was still actually generally quite frightening.
I've been to that hotel. It's around the corner from where I grew up. It's very
haunting.
Creepy, yeah.
That's a film I'd like to see maybe done again.
Yeah, definitely. Just it was ages ago. Was it the 80s?
It was the early 90s, I think.
Was it?
It was Angelica Houston as the head witch. Great casting, but I think I'd like someone, because I think they soften up the ending of that,
yes.
of the book. And Roald Dahl wasn't happy about it.
Oh, was he not?
No, and that was the last film before his death as well, based on one of his books. So yeah, I'd like to see someone do that. Be interesting. Maybe someone adapt one of his adult books. You mentioned this one called Someone Like You.
Well, I think there's a collection of short stories that I've got at home that are nice. And he did a few more adult novels, didn't he?
Yeah, he did some adult novels. He also did the Tales of the Unexpected series.
Yes.
That would be really interesting to see someone maybe adapt that for television.
He
again
did so much.
Yeah.
How did anyone write that much
I know.
In their lifetime?
And then he wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the film.
Yeah.
He wrote You Only Live Twice, James Bond film.
I didn't know that at all. That's interesting.
He did everything, yeah. Very talented man.
Matilda is a great film as
Matilda.
Well.
Oh, my
I forgot
God,
about
I love Matilda.
Matilda.
And the musical that they did is also
I've heard.
Really, really good.
It's funny in the film that they changed that to America, and yet it still feels very British.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't really clock that when I was a kid.
Think about it now, it's it works really well.
But, it is,
But the school is quite an Englishy kind of vibe to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, Miss Trunchbull's English.
Yeah.
And the whole an English it feels like an English boarding school,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it does.
With the cake scene. Very good.
And the chokey. Actually, there's he quite likes the idea of locking children up in dark spaces. He mentions that in the BFG as well.
That's quite sinister.
Mrs. Clunkers, is that the orphanage?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get on to the matter at hand. So, Steven Spielberg's The BFG. Query quickly, I think we need to just establish where we stand on the film, because I think there's a slight differing of opinion in the room. I loved it more than I thought. I didn't expect to love it, but I really did.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I think it was enjoyable. I don't think I'll be rushing to see it again, but I enjoyed it for what it was for the time.
Helen?
I was not a fan.
Okay.
As a kid, I would have loved it. I need to really say that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it now as me, an adult.
Yeah.
As a kid, all the way.
And it is a children's film at the end of
the
day.
And it's a children's film.
Yeah. And a wonderful children's film. I think there's going to be loads of kids that are going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Definitely. 100%.
I think it's one that a lot of adults are going to say to their kids, you need to see it, because I want to see it, probably.
Well, that's the thing, is it? Roald Dahl's work so, lasting, it kind of stays with you, and we all have memories of reading Roald Dahl as children and wanting to revisit it as adults.
Yeah. I just found it so sweet and innocent, and very rarely do I see a film like that, because often films which are purely sweet and innocent are just for kids. Because if there's no threat or nothing too dark or dramatic, I think then it's too adult for kids and just changes the audience. So I don't normally see films like this, but I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, you wouldn't have picked it necessarily.
No, but I did. I loved it. Really loved it. I thought Mark
You
Ryan
were giggling away like a proper kid in the background.
I was really it was really funny. There's fart gags that are very hard
you
to do.
You loved that.
The fart scene is amazing.
It's,
the queen farts.
Funny.
The queen farts, guys. Come on. That's
and she
hilarious.
She does it so gracefully as
well. And the corgis fart and they fly out of the room. It's stupid. But it was really funny. And I think it did make me feel a little bit like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just everything worked well. The music was great. So the actress of Sophie was great.
She was very good.
Mark Rylance was born to play the BFG, I think. So yeah, should we start there with Mark Rylance? Mark Rylance's performance.
He was brilliant.
He was he shied away from film for a long time, wanted to just concentrate on stage. And then after he won an Oscar for Bridge of Spies this year, Spielberg...
Was that his first film role, Bridge of Spies?
I think it was his first film. It was his first major one.
Okay.
He was in a film with Sean Penn called The Gunman, which is terrible.
Interesting.
So Spielberg said to him, oh, do you want to do this as well? And Mark Rylance said, no, I'm not the BFG. That's crazy. But he convinced him, and it worked. It works perfectly.
Yeah,
he's very good. He's very good.
And mainly a motion capture performance as well.
So how would they have actually done that? Because it's like Mark Rylance's face, isn't it?
It's Mark Rylance's face. I imagine they put those some like prosthetic makeup, but then mainly he's in like a sort of lycra suit on green screen, and they animate around his face.
Okay, that makes sense.
Kind of like Gollum, how they film Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, but that's a real achievement in the technical and physical acting. Mm-hmm. Because as well, like, there's so many close-ups of him, and people often shy away from doing close-ups on like CGI characters. Mm-hmm. But I think they embrace that, and there's so many complex movements he does, where he's just running around what look like real sets and interacting with the Sophie other human characters. Really well done.
And yeah, I just loved it. And he has such a warm look on his face, Mark Rylance, in that role. And yeah, you just trust him from the minute he kidnaps Sophie.
Yeah, that's weird that the main character kidnaps a child.
But only a little bit, because she's small.
Yeah,
that's how he says it. Could he have been a bit more jolly?
I think he was a bit too pensive.
Okay, I didn't really think about that.
He's quite sanguine, wasn't he?
He was.
I quite liked it, because it felt like he was quite all-knowing, and there was something almost childlike about him
as
well.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, maybe more jolly, but I didn't need it.
A little bit more quirky, a little bit more Matt Smith's Doctor Who.
I've never really seen him as a kind of that kind of a quirky character, though. I've seen him more as just someone who does his own thing in his own little world and is sort of nervous around this new, the human world. So it kind of made sense that he would be a little bit more, not serious, but a little bit pensive and a little bit questioning.
He has a tough life, the BFG. He's picked on.
He does.
It's really sad. That made me really sad.
When they come in and smash his dreams, literally.
It's home.
It's not in the book, that bit.
Oh, is it not? Interesting. Because I found that really sad and hard to watch, so I'm kind of glad it's not real.
I think there's quite a...
Does that make sense?
There's a lot of elements in this that are not in the book.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I struggled.
Had they mainly added stuff rather than taken away stuff?
Yes, or? The story is much simpler in the book.
Okay. Okay,
we'll wrap this up. We'll talk about this.
We'll get this. Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. The major differences. See, I thought Rylance really sold it to me, and I think he's the film's main weapon.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think he's really fantastic.
Yeah, I think he's the reason that this worked for me. Mm-hmm. He just sold every single scene he was in. I was sold.
He's very.
I never questioned it.
And I love the way he speaks as well. And I know that's Roald Dahl. And
that was he nailed that.
He nailed it. It was so sweet.
It's am I right or am I left?
Absolutely perfect. And then we've got the young actress Ruby Barnhill as Sophie.
She was very good.
Wasn't sure at first, I'll have to admit. I was a bit thinking, oh, this is a bit of a funny... She was just very outspoken and very loud. And I thought, is it going to be like this? But
is that Sophie as the character rather
possibly,
than her?
Possibly. But when she starts to have the scenes with the BFG, then... That was fine.
Yeah, their relationship
really
was
nice
great.
Rapport. Yeah, kind of. I thought it would be father and child, but it really wasn't. It was a sort of relationship of equals. I felt
It's a friendship.
It is, yeah, in the purest sense of the word.
Teaching each other things as well, weren't they?
Yeah. So she really worked. I think that's another thing that could have made it or broken it. The child actor, so that worked well.
Did you feel like Sophie was a good representation of Sophie in the book, Helen? Because I can't really remember the book too well.
She is quite... she's more outspoken in the film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, the very first scene is her shouting at some drunk men in the street. That doesn't happen.
I could have done
that.
Without that, I reckon.
That didn't need...
That character isn't in the book. But she does sort of correct the BFG and be like, you can't say it like that.
Yeah.
So that is bang on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the drunk scene.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was supposed to compare with the giants, the evil giants. It was supposed to be kind of they were representing them in a way.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Because I think some of those actors were playing some of the giants as well. But do we need it? Not really. I think it's just to show that Sophie is quite boisterous, quite loud.
Yeah, she's not afraid
brave,
of anyone.
Yeah. And she likes things to be done properly.
Yes.
I could have seen more of Sophie in the orphanage, I reckon.
I thought that. I thought, well, I have mixed feelings about that. Because I think, it jumps into the plot very quickly. As over in the first 5 minutes, the BFG appears.
I don't even think it's 5 minutes.
It's less than that, perhaps. So yeah, maybe we could have done with her just a bit more about her life in the orphanage. We don't know if, because she mentioned, as you said earlier, that she's locked in cupboards if she misbehaves, but I didn't get that feeling from the orphanage at all that she wasn't.
Obviously, no, it seemed relatively safe.
You're not going to be unhappy. You're not going to be happy in an orphanage.
No.
So I definitely needed to show loads, but just something like, is it an evil orphanage? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I wasn't really sure.
It was strange she was walking around, because in the story it's more that like they're not allowed to leave their rooms, so
okay.
She's just in her room. But the BFG appears on like page 5.
Okay, so that gets in quite quickly in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was glad that it jumped in.
Yeah, it wasn't lingering and waiting around. But I don't know, I could have just seen a little bit more, maybe from Mrs. Clunkers, because we didn't really see her. She was just sort of
she
a
shadow.
She
didn't have any lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a weird bit where she went to the door, picked up a magazine, and then Sophie Hill was the one who had to lock it.
Yeah, and why?
So that was, it seemed like she was quite a negligent carer for children,
yeah.
And just couldn't look after them properly and forgot to do these things, but... And then Sophie was the one that had to look after herself.
And sort the post out.
Yeah,
that,
I got that,
kind
but...
kind of didn't really say why.
No, it didn't add much... So yeah, it jumps in just quite quickly, but I like that it rushed to get them both together, because
mm-hmm.
that's the strength of the film.
Yes, definitely.
So when they go to Giant Country, what did you think about the look of Giant Country?
Very good.
Very good?
Yes, I liked it.
Excellent.
I would just like to see more of Giant Country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it looked great, and I loved the scene of them running around on the way to Giant Country, you know, like when he's like pretending to be a tree and stuff like that, and how people don't actually see him.
Yeah,
I thought it was
really
clever.
Really well.
That was
done
great.
Really
hiding
well.
The back of the truck,
mm-hmm.
turned, like, hiding the lamps
yeah.
so he's not illuminated.
Yeah.
That was very well done.
That was really, really fun. And when he's like jumping from cliff to cliff in the sea on the way
yeah.
to Giant Country, I really, really loved. But I just felt like I could have seen more of Giant Country. I only really felt like I saw corners of it and bits of
yeah.
it in passing, whereas I would have quite liked a big sweeping shot of what it really looked like.
It felt very English.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little paddock, and there were sort of these little caves and little caverns, but I think it didn't feel like a country.
No.
It felt like giant town or giant village. It didn't feel like giant country.
Yeah, it felt like giant rock.
Yeah, and I guess that's the difference between this kind of fantasy and something like Lord of the Rings or Harry
mm-hmm.
Potter,
yeah.
where they're real world building. I want you to believe that this world exists and it has this rules and you can do this, whereas
mm-hmm.
yeah.
in the BFG I was thinking, well, are these the only giants that exist? And
yeah.
he says there were things like, oh, we've always been around, which is fine for this kind of kids film, but I think in another film it would have been like, but what? That's not
and
an explanation.
Maybe the reason I wanted more of that is because we're so used now to
yeah.
like the big epic Harry Potters where they put so much into it, into
yeah.
building the reality around it.
Whereas this is a kids film where kids don't need that kind of context. They're just happy for it to be, there's a giant there, that's
yeah,
all you
kids
need.
Yeah, accept that that's
yeah.
there.
I mean, mm-hmm. the final sort of, the third act with the, without spoiling it, it involves the Queen of England. Is completely fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so not reality the way that's done, but
yeah.
that's fine for this film.
Actually, do you know that the Queen of England had a burglar come into her bedroom once in like the 80s? That's a fact. That's true. Look it up.
Was it a small girl and a giant?
A small girl called Sophie.
That's weird.
It is weird, but it's true.
So yeah, that looks. I thought it looked good, but could have been maybe slightly more interesting. Giant Country.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
about
what
the dreams think. Though. Dreams are nice,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, I think they nailed that.
Dream catching was beautiful, yeah.
So there's this thing where the BFG is responsible for giving children good dreams and nightmares.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to work out. Is he responsible, or is he just doing that as a sort of sense of duty?
Oh, maybe.
Is he going...
No, he moonlights as it.
Yeah.
He's not the one. He just can do it.
Okay, so every single dream isn't the BFG. It's just he does that sometimes.
Because
okay.
dreams just float around in the air and they find they find sleeping people on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Is that explained more in the book?
Mm.
Okay.
I've not just decided.
I was thinking maybe I missed something in the film. Helen says... okay, that makes more sense.
That does make sense.
That's a really Roald Dahl-y idea, isn't it?
Yeah, he
that
just does it for fun.
Float around and then find sleeping bodies to go into.
Yeah.
But
nice.
The BFG takes it upon himself. To catch
to
them.
To find the good ones.
Find the good ones and get the bad ones and put them away.
Mm.
That was a nice idea. And I liked it that the dream jars were labelled with what they were. So
mm-hmm.
like little elements that he could make his own dreams, put them together, sort of make a little story and
yeah.
give them to children. That was a really nice moment.
I really loved all the like attention to detail and
yeah.
the like jar labelling. Like there was one that was labelled as naked at your own wedding.
Yeah. I also loved the way they... So when they go to the Dream Country, is it called?
Yeah.
The Dream
yeah,
part.
Dream Country,
yeah.
I think.
They sort of jump into this river. It's hard to explain, so go and see
it's
it.
It's like a kind of
It's like a yeah. They
mirror.
Jump into it and they emerge the other way around in yeah. Dream Country. It's really well done. That's yeah. great. That's a nice Spielbergy moment as well. Mm. Trying to like show you this a nice transition,
shifting reality.
Yeah, effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really well done. I think that's sort of in the middle of the film where it could potentially be seen as a bit dull.
Oh, I think that's the best bit of the film.
The middle.
When they go to Dream Country.
Okay.
I started losing my way with it a little bit when they went to Buckingham Palace.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I know that's when you really picked up your love for it, Sam.
that's not when I picked up my love for it.
That's where the farts came in.
Well, that's where it was very funny. So I was happy to be there. But I did think I prefer the fantasy and the relationship between Sophie and the BFG. That's the strongest part mm-hmm. of it. And
normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We'll talk about this more later, perhaps, where like it's quite sentimental mm-hmm. and it's Spielberg at his most sentimental. And we're saying like E.T.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's very sentimental, E.T. but we love E.T. So I think it's okay. I think I could forgive him for being too sentimental because it is very schmaltzy. I guess it is a spoiler. We're going to talk about
kind
the ending.
Spoilery, but also there's not huge amounts to spoil.
No, I'm going to say spoiler.
Well, the boat's been out for a while,
yeah.
right?
So. We'll say spoiler warning if you want to go in completely cold, but stick
not
with
a huge
us
spoiler
it,
yeah. warning because you should know the story by
yeah,
now.
I think so. Well, it wouldn't ruin it knowing the ending, I'd
no,
say.
No, it wouldn't ruin
but
it at all.
But either way, spoiler warning. So, in the end, they think the only... Because we haven't really talked about the bad giants,
the
have
bad
we?
The bad giants,
the
yeah.
evil giants. What did you think of them?
I thought they were good. I thought they'd done quite well. They okay. were quite menacing,
yeah.
I thought, and funny.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're not going to keep any kids up at night, scared no. that the giant's going to come for them, which is a good thing if it's a children's film.
Is it?
I guess, I think I wanted them to be a bit scarier.
Yeah.
Because I remember in the original, the 80s cartoon, those giants are quite scary.
Mm.
This, they're good.
Foolish.
They're threatening, but they are funny.
Yeah.
They're played
they're
for laughs.
Stupid.
They're clowns.
Yeah, which is fine because it's a kids film and which has fart jokes, but maybe you want just a little bit more of that darkness. That's, I think, the difference between, like, the Roald Dahl book and the Roald Dahl films, like The Witches,
mm-hmm.
which sort of is afraid to go the distance where the book does.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the same film.
Was it clear to you that the giants leave the country and go and eat children at night?
Not until
not really.
Sophie
I mean, I got it, but it wasn't clear.
Yeah, because that is the main bit of the book.
That the giants leave giant country, steal children.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit where they have a newspaper saying these children are missing.
Right, so that's in there. To prove to the Queen
yeah.
that it's happening. But, like, the whole thing about getting the Queen is just based on the fact that Sophie wants to stop the giants eating other children.
Okay, because in this it seems more like it was all for the BFG's sake.
Yeah.
That and Sophie also, wanted to get rid of the giants and the BFG was bullied and was happier.
Yeah, and also in the film there's a whole thing about she loses her blanket and then the giants know that she's in their country.
That was in the film.
Yeah.
In the film.
Oh, right, see, okay.
But in the book, that's not in there.
Oh, okay.
So there's no threat to her, really.
Oh, so Sophie's pretty safe in the
Well, film. As long as she sticks with the BFG. But,
yeah, okay.
If she goes wandering out, they would eat her, but they don't know she's there.
Their giants never know she's there in the
never.
Book.
Never.
Because the film is very based on the fact
exactly.
that the giants were after her
there's
all the time.
There's a whole new bit. And the whole thing about the other boy, not in the book.
Yeah, okay, so there is a shift in focus. I think this is the film shying away from eating children.
Yeah.
Well, I don't agree.
Yeah, I think kids can take that.
Yeah, it's a giant.
It's like it's a fairy tale. Kids get eaten in fairy tales. I think
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, I think maybe they should have been a bit braver in that respect, and gone slightly edgier.
Yeah, I agree that I just didn't really know that they were going off and eating children. They seemed too lazy to be leaving the country to eat children. Yeah.
It didn't. I mean, it was clear that that was happening from the end, and there was just certain moments, but for the most of it, I had no idea that that was happening.
Also, the end doesn't make sense.
What, where they dropped the giants off
onto
on an island?
Another land.
Yeah, that was a strange choice. In the book, it's a pit in London.
Yeah, they put them in a pit.
Yeah.
That they can't climb out of, and they feed them snazcumbers.
Yeah, well, in this, they drop them on an island.
Another island.
Yeah. What's stopping them from going...
Well, it's because it's saving the BFG again, isn't
it?
No, but they'll still eat the children.
Yeah. Well, they don't care about the children in this film.
They're not. It's so strange.
That is an interesting choice.
I'm sorry, everybody. I couldn't get on board with it.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. I think that is just because they maybe don't want this to be too dark. They want it to be a real child-friendly film.
Well, okay.
But then, well, I think it's a quite a skill to balance fart jokes and dead children
and murder
and infanticide.
I completely agree. And to say at the beginning, kids will love this.
Yeah.
It's great. Like,
it's not
for the kids.
Kids won't think about things like that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I am just reviewing it from me because I've decided that there's not really another choice.
You wanted terror.
I wanted to be frightened.
That's very brave of you, Helen, because you're not usually in for a horror film.
I know.
So what else is different in the book, Helen? Anything else you can think of?
The two main things are... So there's this whole extra bit in the film about the blanket, and then there's threat to her, and this other boy that's been there. And he drops her back at the orphanage in the film. That doesn't happen in the book. It's very different.
In the book, does she stay with the BFG?
Yeah.
And live with her in giant country? Yeah.
No, at the end, they all live with the Queen.
Okay.
And he learns to write, read and write through the Queen, and then he writes the book.
Okay.
But does he stay? He stays with Sophie, because Sophie leaves him in the film.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's Spielberg likes children having to give up their fantasy friends.
Which is
a bit Peter Panny as well.
Bit Peter Panny. I really liked that she had to say goodbye.
Because it's about growing up, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so. I think that makes more sense.
That was quite sweet. I do like the sentimental
stuff. I liked it as well. I welled up. A little bit. Yeah,
Sam,
I did.
Come on.
No, I mean, I thought it was really sweet.
It was really emotional. And I thought it was a bit funny that she's adopted by Rafe Spall and Rooker Hall in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah,
that didn't ring true at all. But yeah, two characters that we have been in one scene.
But she's now having a really nice life. She's got a nice bed in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
But is the story then, it's all right when you're in a big palace?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But then I liked that she had to grow up and give up the BFG.
No, I do like that, and I like that in
But maybe films. She should have gone back to the orphanage. I don't know, but that's quite an unhappy ending, really, isn't it?
Isn't it?
No, I don't really know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was There was such a cute little scene between the BFG and Sophie.
It's with Sophie's dream.
Yeah, about what Sophie's dream is. Are you serious?
I am serious. Cute.
Have you not got a heart, Helen?
I do, but not for that.
And she holds his finger.
Oh, like E.T.
Again.
Yeah.
Again, as a kid, lovely. Now...
Okay. I thought that was really sweet.
I liked that bit too.
And he was saying about how she's going to grow up and live a good life.
Oh, yeah, because she's going to have children. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. That, again, isn't in the book. There's no Sophie's dream. Sophie's dream is she saves her teacher from drowning.
Okay.
And she gets three cheers at school.
Three cheers for Sophie.
Genuinely, that's in the book. She gets three cheers. That's the wonderful dream.
Okay.
So Spielberg has gone for the serious.
Yeah. You're going to grow up and you're going to have children and it's going to be so lovely and then those children are going to have children and that's wonderful.
Yeah, but Sophie craves family, Helen, because she doesn't have a family. She grows up in an orphanage.
Well, so what was that dress they put her in? Freaking sailor outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, and with the Queen. That was interesting.
Sorry.
I've always, even when I was younger and read the book and saw the animated film, I have always had a problem with the Queen being in this film and in this story.
Mm.
Even in the book, it just doesn't ring.
It's a bit random, isn't
it? It's just out of nowhere. And especially in the film where they don't even mention the Queen until Sophie just suddenly says, I have a plan, we should go to the Queen. It's like, where's that come from?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
I think it's quite like a childlike thing, though, isn't it? Like,
charming.
We'll get the Queen to sort it out.
Very British.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of, the Queen will save the day, and it's quite like... it's very old-fashioned as well, that kind of mentality that the Queen will save it the day.
Yeah.
And I know that's from the book being written in the 70s?
Ooh, yeah, I don't
know. 80s? Either way. Yeah, I've always found that slightly problematic. And then the Queen saves it. Because I'd rather them do it on their own.
On their own volition,
it should be that the strength of the BFG and the Sophie together should be able to overcome. That's what I think it should be. And that feels more like something I want to see in this kind of fantasy children's film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to see military intervention
in this quaint film
about a friendly giant who gives kids dreams.
And it was a little bit horrible, wasn't it, when the helicopters came in and like
just that imagery. I just
also I'm a bit confused because they gave them dreams to try and make them kind of
scared,
repent and feel bad.
That's not in the book.
Actually, 1982, by the way.
1982, okay. But like, I'm just saying, if they did, and the other giants seemed to be like, oh no, what have I done? And yet they still punished them. I thought they were trying to
I thought they didn't need the military intervention. They should just show the giants the wrongness of their ways.
Yeah.
That should be enough. Maybe they
Maybe
do
get
punish
the
main
giant.
Yeah, punish
he
the
was
main
a bit
giant.
Too mean.
Yeah, punish
he
him.
Pass.
He can go away, but all of them going away just seems strange. And now the BFG is completely on his own. I mean, you know, it's better than when
he's
he was
like,
being bullied.
Sophie's happy, but is the BFG lonely?
Yeah,
I'm
a bit
worried about that.
I'm worried about the BFG as well.
I am.
He's like Edward Scissorhands. He just goes off and lives on his own in the castle in the end. And it's like, that's not a happy ending.
No,
it's not supposed to be. But
also, there's more kind of stuff in the book on the BFG reflecting on human nature and how we're flawed as humans,
okay,
which I really like.
And isn't in the film.
And did you get that in the film? I didn't really get that.
A little bit, not really. I think
it just touches.
I think they do the fish out of water thing.
Yeah.
And it is funny. I'll give them that. It is funny, but it's nothing new.
Yeah.
But what I will say about the scene with the Queen, it's really funny. And I'm glad it was there. Because, when I was like, oh, here we go, we've got the scene with the Queen now where she saves the day, and I don't like that. But it's genuinely really funny.
I really enjoyed him eating breakfast with a sword and a fork.
That and they pour him coffee from like a watering can and he spits it out all over them.
It was funny.
It's such childish humour.
Because they're all like pretending to be okay.
Yeah.
Like a little bit Gulliver's Travels.
Gulliver's Travels-y. But then I think you always go into that territory when you're dealing with a giant.
Yeah, all the borrowers.
Yeah, I think it's hard to avoid that stuff. Or like, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
And Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Apologies.
Do you know in the original cut of that, one of the kids dies and gets eaten by his dad, but they took it out because it was too dark.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
Wow.
That's Roald Dahl dark.
That is Roald Dahl dark. I accidentally ate my son, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's one of the kids is in his Cheerios, and he eats him.
Oh, and he's just gone.
I think so. But I think they cut the scene out, so then it's...
I remember the bit with the Cheerios.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't eat him.
Yeah.
He's just close, because he's, like, in the milk.
Yeah, there is a version where he eats him and kills him. Anyway, very funny. And you and Sean Penelope Wilton... She's Barbara in Shaun of the Dead.
I liked her.
She's in Downton Abbey. I liked her.
I was just waiting for Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren is way too dark. She's way too serious.
But she's the Queen. Like, she's been in a lot of films about the Queen. She's on stage as the Queen currently.
I don't think Helen
Mirren. Basically, I think Helen Mirren is more the Queen than the Queen is. And
Helen Mirren's Queen would not have helped the BFG.
Maybe she would. I don't know. I just feel like it should have been her. And I was sorely disappointed that it wasn't.
I liked Penelope Wilton as the Queen. I thought she was very warm.
Yeah.
And the scene with her having breakfast
really
with
like
Sophie was really nice.
I really, really like her.
Oh, it's not against her. I'm sure she's great.
No. I'm just saying, like, when I saw her on screen, I was like, yay.
Yeah, it's her.
I think she's great.
That was nice. And Sophie eats the breakfast and she goes straight for the strawberries and cream. That was a nice, funny little moment. Also, food's done really well in this. You've got the sort of the schnozcumbers, which are done
that
very
looks
well.
Absolutely disgusting, doesn't it?
Perfectly disgusting. And what's the drink called with the bubbles float down?
Fizzbuckle or something.
What? Fizzbottle?
Fizzbottle.
Is that what it's called?
No. Oh.
I don't know.
Anyway, the drink he thinks that makes them all fart.
Yeah.
That's done well. And that's funny.
We said about 10 times.
Guys, I love farting.
On this podcast.
It is funny. The food's really good. The food is great. I don't want to eat that snozz cumber, though.
No.
No thanks. I feel a little bit bad. You're laughing at me, Helen.
Frobscottle.
Oh, Frobscottle.
And that makes you have a whiz popper.
Oh, that is a great word. Can we please be referring to it as whiz popping rather than farting from now on?
The whiz popping scene.
Yeah, the whiz popping.
Okay. Yeah, because they're not really farting, are they?
It's different.
It's a whole new thing.
There was a song in the film, the animated film, about whiz popping.
Was that?
Yeah, it's like a musical number, which I was thought they may do in this, but they didn't go down that route.
No songs in this.
To your disappointment.
I was quite glad. I thought Mark Rylance singing might be not the best thing for this film. I don't know if he's a good singer. But I just sort of think that would take me way out of the film.
When's the song in the animated film?
It's with the dreams. When they find the dreams, and then they start whiz popping around the dreams, and it's like a colourful musical number. But yeah, anything more to add from you, like? Yeah.
Yes.
Go for it, Helen.
I'd like to say, I feel like I'm being such a downer on this, but I'm speaking my truth, guys. Okay.
You do, Helen. You do you.
I am. I would really like to see a version of the BFG that. Sorry, that sounded like I was about to burst into song. That is of the same vein of the snowman, the bear, or Grandpa, which are all stories by Raymond Briggs, and directed by Diane Jackson. And The Bear was done by Hilary Ordus. And they are beautiful films that are all animated, but, you know, with drawn animation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about half an hour long. And they don't have many words. And they have a really beautiful soundtrack to them. And they get the heart of the story really well. Like, Grandpa is really beautiful at the end. And it's just... the grandpa dies, and then the end is just the girl going into his greenhouse and going, "Grandpa," and that's the end. And it's
quite sad.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one line, and it's not too overdone with the sentimentality, and it's half an hour. And I would have liked to seen the BFG in this. I'd like to see a half an hour short, keeping to the kind of more quirkiness of Roald Dahl and keeping to the original story. And just having a hint of sort of heart in it.
Mm-hmm. Rather than laying it on so thick.
Yeah. I get what you mean. The sentimentality in this film is there very heavily.
Too much for me.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it, yeah.
Not too much for me, 7 years old.
No, okay.
It's a real family film.
It's such a kids' film.
Watching this on a Sunday afternoon or something, the whole family would be going, after the roast.
Oh, very British, like isn't it? Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, fireplace on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Oh, SEO Trot.
Yeah, that was... Did you see that on the BBC?
Yeah, I really liked that.
That was good. Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered, I was going to say, I don't hate all the adaptions. Okay. Because I really like Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's a great one.
James and the Giant Peach is really good. And SEO Trot is really great.
Okay. Yeah, I think for me that as we said, there are a couple of reservations. That the fact that they shy away from the dark elements of the book, which is kind of expected when this is such a big budget film.
Yeah.
But they want it to do really well and be a real family friendly film. So because a lot of parents, if they see like a BBFC warning contains discussion of dead children, they might be like,
right, yeah,
we're not going to bring the 5-year-olds in for that one.
Yeah.
I did love it, and it's. Really just I was on such a high throughout the whole thing and left feeling really happy. The faults may be more apparent in a second viewing, because you're thinking about it more. Is this not a new experience? Whereas for me, just the whole stuff with the dreams when they go to Dream World,
It's very entrancing,
and it's quite kinetic as well. Like, there's a lot of moving around, a lot of bright colors. The lighting's done really well. It doesn't look like real London.
No, not at all.
The opening, all the nice little lamps on the cobbled streets.
I'm confused to the time period, really, because it felt kind of Victorian, and then there were kind of modern cars and modern motorway signs.
And also the Queen on the phone, she says something like, "Hi, Nancy, wake up, Ronnie, we need to discuss something." I assume that's Nancy and Ronald Reagan, which would put this in the 80s
when it was written. But then she's talking to Boris.
Well, I thought maybe that's Boris Yeltsin, Russian Russian president in the 90s, but then
it was quite funny when she was talking to Boris about like foreign affairs.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's intentional. I don't think they predicted
the
current political climate. This is a film show, Jenna, not a political show. None of that.
I just think anyone, go and see this film with your kids, that's great. But please, please, please read the book.
Yes,
I think if you haven't read it, because I hadn't read it in a long time, and I read it last night, and it's a great book. I read it in one sitting. It's really, you know, it's really short. But it's so lovely even now. Mm. Like, I really enjoyed reading it. So I would say, do yourself a favour, go. Yeah.
And I think that's the wonderful thing about remaking these kind of films. It encourages people to go back to their classics with their children and read them and revisit all your old dolls.
Yeah. I think as well in the context of Spielberg's like filmography, it's not a classic. I don't think it's going to be remembered as one of Spielberg's greatest works. The John Williams score is very good. Reminded me of what he did with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And a little bit Jurassic Park as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So real kind of family fantasy feel, but it's nothing amazing, the soundtrack.
It's nice. It works really well.
But it works well. It makes you feel like a kid again. It reminded me of watching Philosopher's Stone for the first time. I think that's what it's just going to make you feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah. And I think that's what it's trying to do. Nothing more. Nothing too thoughtful, but really fun, really enjoyable.
A touch too long for me, but aside from that, I agree with you, Sam.
Well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week. So that's goodbye from me, goodbye from Jenna.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Helen.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.